time for the Molloy Drive Show podcast. It's the year of the long weekend, people, and with over 160 locations across Australia and New Zealand, you'll be sure to find a Choice Hotel. Plan your next getaway at choicehotels.com for the lowest price guaranteed. Terms and conditions apply. Okay, Australia, you know him. You can count on him.
I'm a 50-50 chance.
You love him.
Hello. Go to the top shelf, ladies.
And now, it's his show.
Here we go, people.
This is Molloy.
Hello, Australia. Welcome to the Thursday edition of Molloy. G'day, Dave.
How are you, Mickey?
Here we go. Another big show coming
Massive.
Down the pike.
Huge.
Lots of Olympic news. Nearly Meadows will be in to discuss everything going on in Tokyo. Dom Knight will come alive from Ground Zero, Sydney. They've had a shocker, a bad one overnight. We'll get to the bottom and see what the latest figures mean to everyone living in the great state of New South Wales.
Yeah.
Don Wilde's up and about.
Oh, look out.
Jim Jefferies.
Tim.
I missed last week because I was sick, so I can't wait to catch up with the great man. That'll be a load of fun. We'll take your calls. We'll take your tweets. A lot to get through, Dave.
What a day we have. It's a big Thursday, Molloy, and it starts right now thanks to Choice Hotels, where you can plan your next getaway at choicehotels.com for the lowest price guaranteed.
This is Molloy.
Hey, you can listen to the Chaser Report 5 a.m. weekdays wherever you get your podcasts. And part of that stellar lineup is Dom Knight, our next guest, joining us on Molloy.
He's about to join us. Just before we do, let's go around the grounds. Victoria, 7 local cases, nothing out in the community for either COVID. Queensland, no new local cases. The rest of the country fairly dormant. Apart, of course, from the unfolding tragedy in New South Wales, which has recorded 239 new local cases. Highest number the state has ever detected in 24 hours. New South Wales Premier Gladys Berejiklian has indicated that Sydney's worsening Delta outbreak has yet to reach its peak, saying cases will continue to rise. Let's get the mood on the ground in the great state of New South Wales and in particular Sydney. Dom Knight, how's it going?
Hello. Yeah, this is the one state of origin we did not want to win, guys.
That's right. What's the mood like? Can you tell us?
Well, I think yesterday was very tough. We expected the 4-week extension. But then today, to jump all the way up to 239, I mean, this is just turning into a gold standard outbreak, unfortunately.
I'm afraid.
It's not what we wanted. It just keeps dragging on. I feel like New South Wales did a deal with the devil. Like, we kind of went a deal where it goes on forever, but it's sort of lifestyle. We can go outside. People are still in the parks. People are still in the playgrounds. People are still swimming in the beach. So I don't know quite that we've got the settings right yet, and it's really starting to get it's starting to bite harder, I think, particularly those 8 LGAs that are really locked down hard.
You know what you need? Another protest. I think another protest is exactly where I looked at your protest, and you've got out there guys punching horses and everyone having a ball. What was the mood? Were people angry when they saw those pictures in New South Wales?
Oh, so angry, Mick. And the lefty types who are normally like, oh, the cops, they're so brutal. They were like, I can't believe what they did to our honest, upstanding police officers. I got to tell you, I mean, the level of anger is such that if they go out there on Saturday again, I reckon just arrest them all, put them in the Big Brother house and let COVID do its thing. Like, let the Delta do its thing. It would make for compelling television, guys.
It would be fantastic. It's time to go, that dickhead.
Into the diary ICU, I reckon. Anthony Mundine was there and TikTok guy.
Like, so the TikTok guy, explain the TikTok guy.
So this is the guy who for quite a few days, I think 5 days, had the right numbers every single day. And he was a comedian. He was pretending to do it all with maths. He really had a leak from inside New South Wales Health or something. So having charted every day the numbers going up and up and up, this idiot goes out to the protest. He's calling himself the people's premier. But I got to tell you, like, compared to him, Gladys Berejiklian is a rock star of popularity at this point.
She's an anti-vaxxer compared to him. Can I say this? Delta has new respect. We all mucked around. We're all the different strains, but this thing's a behemoth.
Yeah, no good.
I miss the days of Zika.
Oh, the old
remember
days.
Zika? Remember, so this Olympics is rocked by COVID, but it was Rio.
That's right.
Rio was Zika.
Yeah.
And basically no one batted an eyelid.
No.
You know, everyone just kept playing. But this thing, Delta, I don't know where we go from here.
Yeah, look, it's not good at all. I think where we go in New South Wales is at home for much of the year.
Yes.
To be honest, it is pretty tough. I mean, We know that you Victorians have somehow managed to get things under control twice. And I just say, I wish you'd mentioned it because we could have used your tip on how to keep this thing under control.
Yeah, it's come up once or twice. Well, when you've been locked down five times, you eventually get the gist of it. And one of the things, and I hate it when our premiers start puffing their chests, and everyone's guilty of it, and we all go around the grounds. But this is the most amazing thing. In the past, bushfires, floods, any kind of tragedy, and Australia bands together. They give you the shirt off your own back, and we all go in, and we all put on concerts, and we do everything. This thing breaks, and we all turn on each other like mongrel dogs. Oh, Sydney this, Queensland that. I'm shutting my borders. You can get stuffed. I'm over it. I think you say we're out of lockdown now in Melbourne. Trust me, it'll be back. Yeah, we all know it's back
only a matter of time.
Until everyone's jabbed. Are you jabbed, Dom?
I'm double jabbed, mate. I'm double jabbed with the Astra.
You done with
can
the Astra?
Can we do a premier swap? I just think if we could do a premier swap, we get it all under control. Dan knows how to do it. You can have Gladys for a bit. Now, Astra's the key. We've had Astra sitting on the shelves. No one's been taking it. I want to pitch something to you, all right? Because I know Triple M, good relationship with the fast food companies.
Sure.
What about we set up some drive-through? Big Macs. You go to Macca's, you get the Big Mac, and you roll up your arm. There's a third window, and you get the jab. What do you organise that with McDonald's?
Let's do it. I'm absolutely serious.
I like it in the bot, so I'll have my ass out the window. But we will get it done. Hey, we might drop in you from time to time. Are you happy at home? Are you set up? Are you looking good? Are you making a suit out of human skin? What are you doing in there?
Well, look, I've got a three-year-old, so any chance for adult conversation, I'm on board. So absolute pleasure. Please check on me several times a day, Mick. I'd really appreciate it.
We will be coming for you, make no mistake. Good on you, Dom. There it is from Sydney. Please, everyone in Sydney, be smart, be adult, take your medicine, get it done.
Yeah, that's it.
And then we can all party.
By the way, the Chaser Report, 5 a.m. weekdays, wherever you get your podcast. Dom Knight. Thanks, Dom. It's Malloy on Triple M.
Driving you home, this is Malloy.
Neroli Meadow's going to come in soon. We've got an Olympics wrap with Neroli all across that. Jim Jeffries from LA in the second hour as
well. Breaking news from the Olympics too, involving lockdowns, isolations, Australian athletes. So Nez will be all over it.
All right.
Hey, we are a rock sport comedy.
Yep.
One part of that is rock, and we are a music station. We need to mention the sad passing of some giants.
Yeah.
Of
Dusty
of
Hill from ZZ Top.
ZZ Top. Was he one of the Nutty Beardos?
He was indeed.
Yeah, Jay's joined us. Jay, who's your part of the world?
Yeah, ZZ Top from Texas, and they were great. I went to college with a kid named Ken, who was mad ZZ Top, and you would just hear it blaring from his dorm room every day.
Younger listeners might want to hear some of their classics.
Like LaGrange.
Oh, that's a good riff.
This is really good,
people
really
that
loud.
All night.
Yeah.
If that was just going on in the background while I was in the pub, I'd be happy with that.
Leg. Sharp pressed man as well. What about a little bit of push?
That's good.
Sort of boogie rock was their
genre. A bit underrated,
genre.
Do you reckon? Yeah. But they've been underrated. They're seen as kind of niche or a bit redneck or something.
That's their style, yeah. Because it was MTV who made them superstars. So back in the early 80s, they had video clips of the guitar spinning around.
Oh, that was the moment.
And the big car. Eliminator, the record with the hot rod on the front. He's a massive giant. And there's a great documentary, too, on Netflix about ZZ Top. It came out last lockdown last year. It's really good.
Hope it's an open coffin so you can stroke his beard. Okay, in other news, Joey Jordison, Slipknot's founding drummer.
Too young.
Has died at the age of 46. Health complications. I won't go into it, but it's too young. And drummer of Slipknot, I'm going to suggest to you that's the engine room. That's the hardest working drummer in show business. Yeah. Slipknot, sounds like it could be a name for boy band or, could be anything, but Slipknot.
Could be like,
you hear these guys go.
Oh, man, they were from Iowa, and I remember when they first appeared on the cover of Rolling Stone, I was like, what is this? They were in the jumpsuits and the masks, and there was nothing like it.
We had Corey Taylor here in this office a few years back doing some acoustic stuff. Unbelievable.
Feels like we should do a tribute.
To ZZ Top?
No.
What?
Slipknot.
What?
Let's play Slipknot.
Oh, boy.
You reckon?
Let's play Slipknot. I'm going to play a Slipknot song in its entirety. Jay, take your producer hat off. Okay.
I would love to hear Slipknot.
Well, it'll be an interesting way to find out if any of our bosses are listening.
All right.
Ladies and gentlemen, kick back and enjoy the work. Entire song, Slipknot.
This is Psychosocial right now. Troy, Triple M.
Check the virgin. Mickey.
That's a hotline.
Someone might be listening.
Should
we just take it on air? Or
hello?
Hello?
Seriously, I don't even know whose decision was that?
Jay decided.
It was definitely Dave.
That's right.
No, you're right, Dan. I'm sorry.
Who was Dave?
Here's the thing, Dave, and I'm looking fairly squarely at you, Dave.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. I'm not angry about it. I'm just disappointed. I'm just disappointed that after all the conversations we've had about Billy Joel and your fetish with Billy Joel,
sure,
suddenly start doing this sort of caper
Slipknot.
On air.
I told him not to. Dan, I said, don't do it. Don't rattle the cage. Don't poke the bear. He goes, we'll be right. I'm the best DJ in the world.
Because, Mick, you're a pro, mate, and I know that's exactly what you would have said. I think this is the Dangerous Dave has got a serious attitude issue.
Right, I look forward to his next performance from you. Thanks, Dan.
So do I.
What was that, about 20? Good on them.
Yeah.
Well done. They are listening.
Well done.
What was that, about 22 seconds?
That's it. I've Slipknot. Little psychosocial there.
For the drive home, this is Malloy.
Gone Wild.
A bit of news coming out of the animal kingdom, Dave.
What do you got, Mickey?
Cortland County man killed in crossbow accident while hunting a skunk.
What?
A 58-year-old man died Friday night after getting shot with a crossbow while he and another person tried to kill a skunk. He and another man were trying to kill a skunk outside the house. The other man shot at the skunk with a crossbow and accidentally hit Parker.
Oh, dear.
Couple of things there.
Yeah.
Anyone hunting animals with a crossbow has kind of crossed a threshold for me.
A little bit.
I'm imagining, camouflage, face paint.
Yeah, yeah.
And troubled childhood. It's a bit Game of Thronesy, isn't it? To be running around the countryside with a crossbow trying to take out a piece of wildlife.
Skunk.
And it's a skunk. So most big game hunters.
Sure.
You're out there, you've got the crossbow, full arrangement. You're probably going to try and
take down a moose. Yeah.
A buffalo.
A bit of game, something. Yeah, that's
deer,
right.
Deer.
Yeah,
exactly. Something with antlers.
Yeah, of course.
No. Let's have a crack at the skunk.
Little skunk.
In the meantime, I'm going to stuff it up and take you out. I wish I was there.
Yeah.
I wish they'd filmed that.
Righto.
That'd be my screensaver. One feral redneck.
Yep.
Shooting another one with a crossbow while a skunk laughs and runs off.
Pepe Le Pew.
Hey, Pepe Le Pew's been cancelled.
Yeah, well, there.
They're not allowed to. Pepe Le Pew got cut out of Space Jam.
Are you kidding?
Because he was a bit handsy.
Oh, he got cancelled. Stop it. And
Pepe Le Pew, he's a flirty skunk.
Of course he is. He's French.
He's French.
That's right.
That's what he does. He hits on chicks. And they said, look, his time has come and gone.
Oh, no. It's a cartoon.
He's flirty. He's a skunk.
He's a skunk.
He's got to try harder than most of the other animals.
And the cat walked under a bit of paint, had a bit of white paint on it.
And then,
he was in love with it.
He just loved that skunk.
That's
and all
right.
of a sudden, you can't have a bit of fun with a skunk.
Oh, I'm rapeable, man.
By, ogling and touching up, I suppose.
I suppose, but...
In his defense, he's a fictional character.
That's true.
And he's animated.
He's written, drawn.
Why do you want to cancel Pepe Le Pew?
Leave Pepe alone.
What about the guy with the two guns?
Oh yeah, Yosemite Sam.
Yosemite Sam, he'll be crossing a line.
Oh yeah, he would be too.
Foghorn Leghorn.
Oh mate, couldn't get away with that now. Foghorn Leghorn.
He was
Confederate flag and all. Let's be honest. Well,
he'd be a Trump voter.
Oh, you mean well and truly a conservative?
Foghorn Leghorn would vote for Trump.
I say.
Okay, good story. Idiot gets shot with crossbow, I'm calling that one. Here's a good one. Echidna spikes drinks after late-night rampage through a bottle shop.
What do you mean spikes?
An echidna got into a bottle shop
wandered through and punctured some cans.
Punctured some cans.
That's what he's done.
Got on it. And it went through. It's gone through a couple of bottles of Baileys.
Oh, well done, sir. So he's well and truly on it.
Imagine a drunk echidna.
Yeah. All over the place.
For all his spikes would be droopy.
Sick 'em Rex.
I tell you, if I see another ant, I'm over the ants. Yeah, stupid ants. He'd glass an ant. That's what a drunk echidna would do. He'd try and glass an ant. What's he doing? It's in a Sydney bottle shop.
I don't know.
The echidna's got in.
How'd he get in?
After hours.
Ding, ding.
Gone to Bailey's. I would have thought the echidna would be a Jack Daniels man.
Definitely.
No, you reckon? Yeah, down the tougher end.
Yeah, you're hard on
it. Spiky.
Yeah, your Bailey's is Nana sort of style operation, isn't it?
Yeah, maybe.
What?
I don't know. Maybe not a fluffy duck. Remember Fluffy Duck?
I do.
You remember a day,
yes,
Dave, when the only cocktails you could get in this country were a Fluffy Duck or a Grasshopper?
That's right. And that was it. There was no...
That was it. Oh, can I have a look at the cocktail menu? Yeah, there it is. Okay.
I don't even know what was in a Fluffy Duck
or the Grasshopper.
Thank you.
You got any cream to moth? No. What do you think this is?
Any of the Cowboys? No, I can't get that anymore.
You can't get the Cowboys. Oh. A Maduri Shaker? Oh, I thought an echidna would love it.
Yeah.
Maduri Shaker.
Green.
Japan, which is hosting the Olympics. Look at this. Dog pee blamed for mysterious collapse of traffic light pole in Japan. Man. What's that dog been drinking?
What do you mean? He's been peeing on a pole.
Police in Japan believe they've finally sniffed out the likely cause of the sudden collapse of a set of traffic lights. Dog urine.
Brought down by a cock of the leg.
Cops working out of the Kansai Honshu area were initially baffled by the 6-meter-tall pole when it was discovered collapsed on some bushes.
Mm.
First installed a set of cockroaches. They now say it was back in 1977. They reckon it's been in place for 50 years, and over time,
just the
dog urine's got it.
Got it. Like an acid.
You know when dogs urinate on trees?
Yes.
You know what that's doing?
What?
It's like a dog answering machine.
Is it?
So you go and check the tree, and you sniff it and you go, oh, Rex has called.
Sounds like a little...
Barry's been here. I better get back to...
It's like a little Chinese whispers. It's like a little story that they're living along.
You go to the tree and check your messages.
Yeah, because my dog does that, Marty, when I take him for a walk. Every night, it's the same spots every time I take him for the walk.
Take down a...
Nah,
traffic,
no chance.
Traffic pole.
Nah, he's a moodle. He's a tiny little thing.
Witch's hat. He could do a bit of damage with a witch's hat coming up next, Narrowly Meadows.
It's Malloy on Triple M.
Get with the program, Toots. This is Malloy.
How far did we get into that?
We got about 34 seconds in.
34 seconds.
Until Dan rang.
Get it off. Can I just say, we're getting a lot of calls saying, please play the whole
song. We hear
song.
It more.
Maybe can we put it on our podcast or something?
What we can do, here's the thing, Triple M Digital Radio has Triple M Hard and Heavy. So if you go on DAB Plus or you go through the Listener app as well, you can hear that sort of music all the time.
So Slipknot, Toto.
Not on the same, not on Hard and Heavy, I wouldn't have thought.
Where's the line drawn? Well, what's Hard and Heavy?
Hard and Heavy. So it's your harder rock. It is what it sounds like. So if you're Metallica and you...
Iron Maiden.
Yeah, you're sort of Hard and Heavy rock. It's a digital radio station.
All right, mate, take the tone out of your voice. It was a question that was asked. I don't want to know where the line is. What's hard? Is it a Choir Boys?
No, hard, sort of hard rock, drums and guitars.
I think I have an understanding of percussion section of a rock band, mate. I'm just trying to work out who gets
Where's
in.
The line?
Jet.
Jet, or you're not Hard and Heavy. No, they're rock.
Why not?
They're straight up and down rock.
So what's hard then?
Hard? Well, you'd go, again.
Soundgarden?
Heading that way. Yeah, heading that way. Yeah.
You are
not
a
all
dick.
Hard. Soundgarden aren't all hard.
They were the loudest band in the world at one stage.
Yeah,
they were clocked as the loudest band in the world.
I would put them on Hard and Heavy, but I wouldn't say they're all hard. There's a bit of, ballads.
Who might sneak in?
Who else?
Pantera?
Definitely. All in.
Bucks Fizz.
Oh, you're not going to take it seriously. Well, they won Eurovision one year, so that might be on.
Did you steal a road sign? James has just joined us in the studio. Did you steal a road sign last night?
Don't know what you're doing.
I'm not very happy at Dave at all for doing this.
Okay, so it was a really windy night the other night.
All right.
Really windy, and so things are blowing around. And I took Marty for a walk, and I noticed on the street next to us, there was a 70 road sign that had come off the pole. Obviously, the wind blew it off.
What type of road sign?
Like a 70, speed sign, 70.
A speed sign 70.
Yeah, so I thought, I'll take it off the road because it'll become a hazard. Might end up with someone's windscreen. So I just took it home. What's the problem with that, James?
He did everything right up until he took it home. He should have taken it to the cop shop.
Hang on. You took a roadside home?
Yeah.
What are you, a uni student? what are you doing, Dave? You're living in a shared house.
I don't know. Looks pretty good in the garage.
Guys, guess what I got?
I know.
Oh, it's a roadside.
Pull up into the garage.
Put it up 70. Just above the witch's hat. And the bookshelves I've made out of bricks and a plank of wood.
I don't know what to do with it. Hard rubbish, maybe? I'm not sure.
What are you doing now? You're going to start labelling the food in your fridge? What is wrong
Heading
with you?
Way. Wow. I got one.
James, you've joined us. Why have you joined us?
We put up a photo on our Instagram yesterday.
Okay.
Of some fruit.
Of some fruit. It's a fruit stand in Positano.
Yeah.
Is that where it is? Because this is causing worldwide news.
Mm.
Who originally posted it?
Lisa Wilkinson.
Goop picked it up.
Yep, with credit. They credited Lisa.
And now the Kardashians have gone rogue, used it, and not credited Lisa Wilkinson, and she's ropeable.
Yep.
She's tipping furniture over at Channel 10.
Why?
Apparently took to the project set with an axe.
Has she?
I don't know. Why is that? Why is it so important? Tell me why.
Oh, well, there are some saying that, you know, maybe she's trying to get a little bit of exposure through the Kardashians by getting
access to all their... makes sense.
Yeah, yeah.
If you care fruit. If you care about likes.
Yeah.
And the fruit. And it's funny because it's very similar to a picture I posted.
Yeah, strikingly similar.
What's the same? In fact, I stole her picture and posted it.
Did
yesterday
you credit
and
Wilco
said it was,
or not?
No, I said it was my own. And I told people not to repost it or I'll sue them. How'd it go? Any reactions?
There are some people who don't quite get the joke and think that you actually put up a really nice photo of some fruit
adorable.
In Italy and they're trying to bond with you over the fruit.
Oh, that's sweet.
They want to discuss the fruit.
Yeah. They do.
Well, strawberries, Dave, I told you.
Yeah.
Strawberries are the most overrated fruit in the fruit bowl.
A lot of people talking about...
Very hoity-toity.
There's a lot of grapes in that image. A lot of people talking that you might need to get some cream with all those grapes that are hanging in the image there.
Oh, jeez, you've gone and ruined it.
Low-hanging fruit, if you will. Would you? No?
Is that a joke about...
Hang on.
There's a joke...
I didn't get it.
There's a joke on a bad joke. So I didn't even... He was trying to make a hemorrhoid reference to to a bunch of grapes.
And I didn't even get it.
And then he, well, that would have gone over your head.
Well, of course.
And then he said, oh, it's just low-hanging fruit. He's doubled down on a really terrible joke. Well done.
I don't deserve that. Right.
Good luck to Nearly Meadows bailing us out of this one.
A drive home that's always unpredictable. This is Malloy. Nearly Meadows Sports Wrap.
We've been focusing heavily on the pool. We'll cover a bit of that. Mm. But joining us to talk all things Olympics, including breaking news, Nearly Meadows. Hi, Nez. How are you?
Thank you very much for having me and getting me off my couch.
Yes.
Locked down.
Well done. And you've kept yourself tidy.
Shut up,
lady.
All right, Pepe Le Pew.
Are you offended by Pepe Le Pew? Can you see that maybe he's had his day? Or
Probably,
a bit
yeah.
handsy. Right.
Probably.
But in a cute way. Yeah. All right, Dave, don't go and ruin it. Now, quickly, the breaking news from Olympic Village, please, Nez.
Yeah, look, this is an emerging story right at the moment, and it is evolving as we speak. Basically, all of Australia's athletics team have been put into immediate isolation because an American pole vaulter, Sam Kendricks, who is a medal favourite in the pole vault, tested positive for COVID. And I can tell you a second pole vaulter, it's just been reported, has received a positive COVID test. That is an Argentinian.
Wow.
So the Australian Curtis Marshall is the main close contact they were concerned about. There's 63 Australian athletes. The test results take around 3 to 5 hours, so they're actually quite quick. And there are reports emerging at the moment out of Tokyo that indeed Australia are receiving negative tests. So hopefully this is just a bit of a scare, but everything's fine.
So isolation is not like 14 days, guys.
Yeah.
They're basically 5-6 hours and they can get it.
Exactly. Put your mask on, go back into your room in the Olympic Village, stay there until you get a negative result.
Okay.
So it looks at the moment like it's actually going to be okay for the Aussies.
Because it's been fantastic and I'm so glad these games are on.
Same.
And I was a bit sceptical originally, but I'm so happy that they ploughed on. Well done, Japan and Tokyo and all the athletes for putting on the show, because it still works for me. I still sit there and watch the best athletes in the world go do their best to do something that they've coveted for so long. So the foundations are there and it still works.
And I know that the IOC really sat down and they asked themselves, what works for Mickey? That's the question they asked themselves.
Well, my couch is the most, if you can get the white smoke from my couch, which is a electing a Pope joke, not a...
Yeah, I'm still seeing that.
The tally overall, though, 7 golds for Australia, 19 medals overall, and it is the pool that is raining gold most of all at the moment. Guys, what another sensational day for the Aussies. Zach Stubblety-Cook, what a name, what a performance. Came from absolutely nowhere to win gold in the 200-metre breaststroke and basically said afterwards, I made it more entertaining for you, didn't I? The fact that I didn't look like I was going to do anything.
He flew home and then got a wriggle on.
It was absolutely amazing. So he won gold. Kyle Chalmers, this was an iconic.
Heartbreaking.
iconic 100-meter freestyle race. He was from lane 7, which Ian Thorpe reckons that that's what's cost him. It was 0.06 he came in silver. He finished 6th fastest qualifying for
the final. Still slammed his fastest time.
Exactly.
And look, gold backing up with silver in the 100-meter fly, which is the alpha male event.
Definitely.
Is a pretty good track record.
Mm.
None of them seem, can I put this to you, and I don't know whether these are the kids today or whatever, but they don't seem as hung up on the goal. Like,
I would have liked to see a few more dummy spits.
I've seen ball his eyes out, tip some furniture over, and never come back. But you know what I mean? In past,
just a Mel Brown, snap the microphone.
Out
you go.
But everyone in the pub, but these guys go, you know what? I did my best.
Yeah.
I posted a good time. I really tried. Well done. Yeah. Sorry if I've let you down. And you go, it's actually a healthy response to go, look, it's, I'm still the second fastest guy in the frigging world.
0.06 he missed out on two. It's just his reaction time off the blocks. That's all that cost him in the end. And so you do wonder, Mickey, whether COVID and the pandemic has just taught us all a little bit more perspective, potentially, the extra year. And he, as well, is a particular example of that. He had surgery, so if it was last year, he wouldn't have been involved. So he just sits there going, look, this is a win for me. And
correct.
All power to him.
Can I put to you a strange theory I have about the pool in Tokyo?
Always.
I think there's more people getting in. So did you see day one? Day one, it was empty.
Yeah, no
one there. Apart from the people on the starting blocks, I couldn't see anyone. Now it's half full.
Yeah.
It's like day by day, I reckon more officials are going, come on.
There's
you
a few
come
more
in.
People sneaking in.
There's some teams Vuvuzelas. Allowed in.
I'm with you. There's a real genuine atmosphere there, and it's not canned noise. Because when you listen to the other events, like the Boomers, for example, it is so quiet. You could hear a pin drop.
Yeah.
Whereas
the
swimming, it's just getting louder and louder, and it's not just Dean Boxall.
That's right. So can you hang about?
Absolutely.
We're going to go to a song.
Yep.
Is that what we're doing?
We'll
come back and talk some more. I want to talk gymnastics and other stuff going on.
And Jess Fox.
Yeah, Nerilee Meadows with us. It's Malloy, Triple M.
This is Malloy.
Hey, Nerilee Meadows here to talk Olympics. What else do we need to know? Any Aussies on the horizon?
Right now, the final with Jess Fox is about to begin. So she will be a little way away because she qualified fastest for the C1 final. Now, she won bronze in the slalom
I've never been so upset. And again, it's not a sport I follow. I'm not married to
it. But now we're experts, right?
That's right. But I just went, because she was so cool.
She's
her parents,
so much
both
faster.
Her parents are kayakers. She,
her dad's mum, commentating on the
her
event.
Her mum's coaching. Yep. So they're all there. She is the best in the business. And I was just really upset that she, again, possibly more upset than she. But
she got two penalties on the way down. So she was way faster than the rest of the field. But that final penalty, literally just her chin grazed the pole, and that cost her gold. She ended up with bronzo, which is still an amazing effort.
If that happened
and
to me,
I know
you'd have to go, which chin?
It was his third chin that caused the penalty.
Third chin on the left.
But I know another reason why you love Jess Fox, Mickey.
Why is that?
It is because she is gone all MacGyver. Fixed her kayak with a condom.
I heard that.
Yep.
Now, this is ingenious. She basically had some stuff that she fixed the tip and then she put the condom over the top, which gives it a nice smooth finish.
Well done.
Bob's your uncle. All done. So, Jess Fox, what an Aussie legend.
She should, if she wins, she should stand on the podium holding a dinger.
There you go.
Or not.
Well, wouldn't you want to thank and pay tribute to the most important Olympic ring, condom.
T-Rex.
She did say, I bet you never knew that condoms could be used for kayak repairs. Very stretchy, much strong. It gives the carbon a smooth finish.
If she's not doing an ad for condoms before this year is out, I'll go, hey, good luck on her. On that note, what's happening back in the Olympic Village? Are they still... Is it game on or not? Are they abiding by the rules?
Well, it's funny that you should ask that because I have a question for you. How many Israelis does it take to break an anti-sex bed?
Okay.
They've actually conducted an experiment. The baseball player Ben Wagner of Israel decided he would get all of his teammates involved.
He's trying to get to home base.
From Team Israel, they each jumped on the cardboard bed to see how many people it could withstand.
Yes.
9 Israelis is the answer. So they're actually pretty tough, these beds.
9. Must have been a quiet night. 9? How's that?
I tell you
what.
What
kind of cardboard's that? Do you know what cardboard's good for?
What's that?
Birdman Rally. Yes. You know when you see a guy who spent all week down in the basement, like Howard Hughes style, working on his spruce goose, and he turns up and he's got Cocoa Pops.
That's it.
Packets. That's what I think of when I think of cardboard. I don't think of that super strong stuff. I think of,
flimsy
cereal packets.
Yeah. I've got to say, this has got to be the classiest, most well-rounded Olympic wrap-up of all the stations, doesn't
Welcome
it?
Aboard. You've come to the right place. We'll drag you down to our level eventually, narrowly.
It'll take long.
Don't you worry about that. If I do remember, you've introduced both those topics, the condom and the nine in a bed. So sorry for playing along.
And the little one said.
Can you class it up a bit? Have you got something good to go out on? Is there anything that we need to know? What's bubbling away at this?
I do want to talk about Simone Biles. Yep. Because I think she
is
iconic. She's obviously one of the best we've ever seen in gymnastics, the American. She pulled out of the team event to focus on her mental well-being, had a case of the twisties, which is a term that's been introduced to a lot of us who don't necessarily know gymnastics, but I think it's basically like the yips for other sports.
I've had a case of the chicken twisties.
You've had a few cases of those.
I just really have to do it. Yes, but it is particular to gymnasts.
So, and basically you can imagine it'd be incredibly dangerous because you're up in the air doing all sorts of things. If you don't know where you are, that could really be, tragic ending. So she's now since also pulled out of the individual all-round event. We'll wait and see what happens for the individual events next week.
It's polarised America. The right-wing press have gone her, saying it's typical of wokeness, harden up, toughen up.
She has competed with broken bones before.
Correct.
She has been one of the faces of a sexual assault situation in gymnastics in America.
Yeah. Wow.
This is one of the toughest people will come across. I get goosebumps when I talk about it. If you think she's not tough, and most of the people saying that, let's be honest, get scared of wearing masks and getting
100%.
A jab in the arm.
I agree with you
she's
entirely.
As tough as they come. And as far as I see it, if you are an expert in any field and you know as an expert in that field that something is not right, you have an obligation to pull out of whatever that thing is, whether you're a doctor, Mickey probably doesn't have that level of, something's going wrong, I should probably pull out of this joke now.
I would have retired 25 years ago. If I had any overarching sense of what's right and wrong.
But I think it's the people that are brazen.
Yeah, exactly.
They're the concerning ones. I think Simone Biles is just brave.
Even bigger story coming out of gymnastics. 48-year-old gymnast. Are you kidding me? A 48-year-old. I can't do a cartwheel. I cannot do a cartwheel. And she's on fire.
Amazing.
How good's that?
Love her.
Somebody told me that she's my doppelganger and I don't know how to feel about it, Mickey.
You know what you like? Her older sister. Okay. We've had enough. Good on you, Nez.
Well done, Nez.
What do we watch? Tell us what to watch.
Tonight, Jess Fox. That's the one.
Yeah. Right.
Jess Fox for me. We're all experts in this field now.
Yeah,
let's
hope
no penalties. She gets through. She gets
good
the
on
gold.
You,
coming up, Jim Jeffries.
This is Malloy. Time to gather back around your wireless, people. Here comes the big second hour of Malloy.
It's going to be a cracker, people. A warming up. Jim Jeffries, satellite almost in place. Dave missed him last week.
Yeah.
I was sick.
He missed you too. I saw a message from Jim saying he missed you last week, so he's probably got some questions for you, young Michael.
I want to ask what he's been up to. Who's he back for in the Olympics? Is he still Australian?
Well, see, that's the thing, because his kids, are American citizens.
American. We'll get to the bottom of that. There's a lot to dark web. We'll get to the bottom of that. Yep. We'll talk limps. We'll take calls. We'll take tweets.
Dave O'Neill. Yep. Thanks to Crown and Choice Hotels. You can plan your next getaway with choicehotels.com for the lowest price guaranteed. Malloy, Triple M.
For the drive home, this is Malloy.
Look, he's
in place.
He's coming in now from Los Angeles, California. It's Jim Jeffries.
Hello, Jim. How are you?
Good, mate. Good. Are you feeling better?
I am feeling better. I missed our chat last week. I felt there's like a little hole in the landscape that I couldn't replace. And
what happened to you?
Oh, yeah.
Gout. It's gout.
It's gout?
It's not. I'm trying to think of one of those old sepsis. Sepsis?
Scurvy.
No, I'll tell you what I did. Yeah. I had food poisoning because we had a lockdown, right, last Friday.
Yeah.
So I went to my favourite restaurant and I said, give me enough food for a week and I'll pop it in my freezer. When I got home, I realised I didn't have a freezer, so I only had a fridge. So I left it in the fridge and kept eating it every day, and it got to 5.5 days when I went, you know what, those lamb rissoles look okay to me, and whooshka. Next thing you know, Mount Vesuvius out the back door, the bubbly hot springs of Rotorua downstairs, and it was on.
A rissole will get you. Yeah. It's like the vaccine. You don't know what they put in it. It hasn't been tested. You can't tell.
Get that down to forensics. Hey, congratulations. You've had your baby shower?
And we had a baby shower. People showed up. It was all good.
How'd you go?
Well, what we did was we bought 80 tests, and so people to come to the baby shower, we had a separate room, which was the testing room, where you'd come in, and then my assistant would swab your nose. And then after 10 minutes, you were allowed out of that room into the regular party to see people. I tell you what, it made the party awesome because when you're in the testing room, you could chat to other people being tested and you get to know people in the testing room so you'd make more friends. It's like when they banned smoking indoors in England when I was living there. They stopped indoor smoking.
Yeah.
They reckon that smoking actually picked up. More people started to smoke because you'd be put out into a little roped off area and there'd be girls there. And you could go, do you want a light? And it was a good way to talk to women outside of the noisy bar. So people were risking lung cancer to get themselves a root, which I understand.
I would risk an electronic voice box to chat up a chick.
Hey, babe, how are you? You look hot.
Did you have a gender reveal at your party? Yeah. Come on,
mate. We had a gender reveal back. It's very American to have the gender reveal.
What did you do? What was yours?
Well, we did it over Zoom with her family watching everything. My wife desperately wanted to have a daughter. Right, so she found out just before the review. Then she filled the balloon with all the confetti, and she handed me the balloon with the moodiest look on her face. She just went, "There you go, you can pop this."
No.
And I'm just like, "Let me guess, it might be a boy, right?" Popped it, and all the stuff came out. And then she looked at all of her family down Zoom, and went, "There you go. I hope you all enjoyed that." And she ended the Zoom.
Imagine storming out of your own gender reveal. Boo! I'm out of here. Tip some furniture over and you're out. It's become a thing. This is what they're saying. You're more likely to die from a gender reveal party than you are from getting AstraZeneca. I just like that. I just think that should be an ad.
Statistically, that's probably true. But people have all those bloody, they let off cannons, and the Americans have shotguns that they shoot, and then there's always something that flies off in the air. I love a good gender reveal party fail. It's one of my favourite watches at the moment.
It's not bad. What was my favourite? I think it was the woman who farted on cue and like blue talcum powder came out of her bottle. And I went, you know, that's going to be hard to beat.
Yeah, looks like the birth might be easy for her.
All right, let's take a break on that note.
Yep, all right. Thanks to Crouch.
A drive home that's pretty loose. This is Malloy.
We are joined by Jim Jeffries, who, by the way, the podcast's great. I don't know about that. Wherever you get your podcast, download that and enjoy.
I was enjoying your chat about the dark web. I've got a grab here, just a quick one.
Well, I don't know about that. I'll say this. I don't think I've ever done anything illegal on the internet.
Yeah.
I don't think there's anything that I've done that's dodgy where if someone looked at my computer, I'd be in a bit of trouble. No, I've never done anything. I've never bought anything. I've never looked at anything.
Well, technically, you just, you know, like when you're texting people, that's on the internet.
Oh, I've probably texted some illegal things.
See, that's news to me too. I've got to get with a plan on this stuff.
Mm.
So my dick pics are going out on the internet. Is that what you're saying? Here's my understanding of the dark web. We can't get on it. Right?
Right.
Is it a tricky thing? Do you have to be in the gang? Do you have to have the secret handshake to get in the dark web?
Mm. You buy like an app that goes on your computer and then you can go on the dark web. And the people who use the dark web seem to think it's awesome. And it's like a thing where they go, oh, but people from different countries with a blocked internet, they can talk to each other and you can buy. And there was even like a bloke on this podcast they were talking about who he's from Nigeria and he's the main guy who rips you off when you're trying to get a hitman.
Yes.
Right? So you try to get a hitman. They reckon 90% of all hitman deals on the dark web are done through this bloke. And this bloke just takes your 50 grand or however much the person's worth killing for. He takes the money and then he rips you off. Because it's a hard business to go to the cops going, all I was trying to do was get rid of my wife, and I can't believe these scammers, right? But the thing is, they act like this guy's a saint because, you know, otherwise these people could get actual hitmen.
He's doing us a favour.
Mm.
So here's the idea I can't get around, that you can do whatever you want because no one is watching. or listening.
I feel like if you're on the dark web or 4chan or 8chan or any of those things, you're up to no good.
Yeah, you're sneaking around.
You're right. There's no forums on the dark web about how good Diana was and she was the people's princess.
There's no cats playing piano. You know what I mean? That's what I'm looking for. But here's the deal. So recently in Australia, all these bikies got busted because they were using a phone.
I was in Australia when this happened. They put this app is genius. This is a movie waiting to happen. They put the app on.
Yeah, so they put it on. The cop gives it to them and goes, now whatever you say on that is okay. You can't be traced.
Yeah.
I feel the same way about the dark web. People go, I'm on the dark web. They'll never get me. Surely someone
web. They reckon that you slip up because eventually you'll have to give someone your postal address. There I am. This is where I live, and that's where you slip up. But I'll tell you what was genius about that app was they made them pay for the app.
All right.
That's the bit. They had to pay like $5,000 or something to have the app. That's what legitimized it because, like, obviously if I'm paying for it, this isn't going to the government. Yeah. When I moved to England 20 years ago, I wanted to go see Oasis, and I had about £150 to my name, and the tickets were 40 quid. It was a warm-up gig. I met this guy down alleyway. He goes, 150 quid for the ticket. And I went, oh, man, come on, please. I've just got £100. That's all I've got to my name. Please, 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 please. He said, nah, 150 quid. And I said, take it or leave it. 100 quid. And he said, I'll leave it. And he walked away. I chased him down the road to give him the $150 for a counterfeit ticket. Like, that was the genius.
That is unbelievable.
The genius was that he made me want it. He walked away knowing what a fool I was and that I was going
to... They're having a hard time at the moment, scalpers. There aren't many live concerts or venues to be scalping tickets to. They've been hit hardest.
JobKeeper.
We should do a GoFundMe for the scalpers out there. Hang around, Jim.
More with Jim. Coming up, it's Malloy on Triple M.
This is Malloy.
Jim Jefferies is with us. What a treat from Los Angeles right now. Here on
who do you support in the Olympics, mate? Are you still Aussie? Are you American?
I'm Australian. I don't bloody move over to America. I go for Australia. I supported Australia as a kid. I've even got my kid, who's American, he supports Australia in the Olympics because he thinks that's what you're meant to do. He sits with me and I go, oh, we're doing well in the swimming, son. I watch the basketball. It's very hard to watch the Australian events, though, because the Americans don't watch anything besides the American events. You know how, this is the God's honest truth, you know how I know if Australians have won a gold medal or not? The Triple M Instagram page. I'm giving you a plug.
Well done,
I follow that. Well, that one, it tells you right away. Beautiful. The Triple M, all of a sudden it goes, oh, they've won it, the four rowers won it. And then I was like, the women have just won the rowing. I was like, that's awesome. And then I refreshed, the men have won the rowing. It didn't stop.
We won that race. The Brits steered off course. They got out of their lane. They went sideways. They did a runner. It was unbelievable. It was like they realized they were driving on the wrong side of the road or something. I don't know.
I like the Olympics. I'm not a massive Olympic fan because it feels like all the sports, let's be honest, bit stupid, right? Everything is a sport that you can't make money out of. Like, if I put all my effort into pole vaulting, would have I made it? Because no one else wants to do it. I've never met a pole vaulter. I've never met a shot putter. I've never met someone who's like, what do you do for a living, mate? Oh, I throw a big metal rock as far as I can and make a grunting noise. Oh, well, there must be a bit of money in that. No, they come home to Australia, and if I remember rightly, they give you a golden Holden and a pair of Jimmy Choo shoes. I used to sell mobile phones with a guy, I think his name was Michael Diamond.
Yes.
He won two gold medals. He's a shooter. I used to sell mobile phones with him at Strathfield Car Radios in Artarmon after he'd won the gold medals.
By the way, if you're going to... I don't mind the shooting, but they need to update it a bit. Something for the sawn-off. You know what I mean? Something for the drive-by.
Yeah.
You know? Maybe shooting at road signs. That Australians would be good at that.
Yeah.
We can hit a roadside from a moving car from about 200 metres.
I used to look at him all the time and think, geez, what does a gold medal... But I think he went... He told me once, because I had no money to my name, that the Sultan of Brunei flew him over to go shooting with him. I think he paid him like 15 grand. And I remember going, ho, 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 that's the life. He can bloody retire now. I'll just keep on shooting with the Sultan of Brunei every bloody once
Correct.
A year.
Russell Mark did the same because the Sultan of Brunei, you're not going to believe this, made the Olympic team.
Oh, wow.
Did he?
Because he's the Sultan. And basically, Russell Marks told me the same story. And he was staying at his palace, which had like fully golden taps and gold and everything.
Yeah.
And he said, when the Sultan of Brunei loaded his gun, there was a guy standing there with a pillow and the bullets were on the pillow.
Oh, yeah.
And he had to take the bullets
off.
No way. Imagine that in the Bronx.
That's right.
I say, I'm going to bust a cap in this guy's ass. Pass me the pillow.
Of course he made the Olympics. He's in charge of the whole thing. That's what I always used to think about Imran Khan.
Mm.
He was all right, right? He wasn't a bad cricketer, but they used to go on about Imran Khan being the best cricketer, all the time. He was okay. But what have he made? He was the prince of the country, wasn't he?
He was, the Lion of Lahore.
Yeah,
Which was, you're right. Yeah, he just throw him the ball. I'll have another one, thanks. And I think now he's running. He's still running for president.
He's in politics.
He's in a good chance.
I'll tell you a little fame story, which is a bit tragic. So I'm warming up. I'm about to do Vegas this weekend. I'm doing a couple of warm-up gigs because I didn't get to do any gigs in Australia, you know. And so I went out to a comedy club and I did 2 15-minute spots, early show, late show.
Right.
Early show, I do all my material. Everything's going good. My big closing piece was a bit about Michael Jackson being a pedophile. Go through all of his lyrics about how they this and that and how the moonwalk, you know, all these different. But anyway, went great in the first gig. Fantastic.
Sure.
Then in the second gig, all the material went good. That bit died on its ass. And I had no idea why. And I was just still thinking about the promoter rings me up and he goes, I had a very angry Paris Jackson in the audience. I'm mortified that Paris Jackson was in the audience. Like, I have my opinions on her father, but geez, I feel like a right asshole for doing that material.
There are some things you don't want to do in front of certain people. And it's like when your girlfriend turns up to watch you do stand-up and you've got 20 minutes of gear that's got to make for a very quiet trip home in the car. But that's a good one. Paris Jackson.
Amazing. Well.
You know what I was thinking? My friend said to me, I ring him up, another comic, and I said to him, I said, Paris Jackson was in the bloody audience. I can't believe that. He goes, you know what happened? She was probably sitting at home and she thought to herself, it's safe to go see comedy again. What type of hack would still be talking about my father now?
Mate, well done. You've done it again. Hey, Jim, always a pleasure to catch up. Have you got anything? We're still devastated out here. I think you got one show in. You've got to come back and do it again.
We've rescheduled all the gigs. I'll be back.
Awesome.
And I think we're going to add a couple of extra gigs to sort of... I'll tell you what's funny, right? So I said to my dad after the Australian trip, I go, I lost loads of money not doing these shows. And he goes, yeah, but you're just going to reschedule them. I go, yeah, but I would have toured again then anyway.
Yeah.
And he goes, oh, yeah, but this tour might have been terrible and no one would have shown up for the next one. You never know how these things...
Thanks, Dad.
Real
You've
grounding.
Always been there for me. He puts his arm around his shoulder in a loving way. Hey, Jim, we've got to go. Good on you, mate.
Jim. All right, thanks,
Always lads. A pleasure. Bye.
Catch up Cheers, with mate. You. It's Jim Jefferies.
Driving you home, this is Malloy.
Thanks to Choice Hotels, where you can plan your next getaway at choicehotels.com for the lowest price guaranteed.
The lowest price and the best in the business.
Oh, mate.
Over 180 hotels across Australia and New Zealand, and they're prime real estate.
They are.
That's how good these guys are. So the best bits of Australia they've found.
They've got the
And
spot.
Then they've gone to the blue chip real estate and gone, let's build a kick-ass hotel right here.
And they're independently owned and operated as well. So
That's
they're
right.
investing in what they're doing.
So invest in Australia, invest in regional Australia, invest in ordinary Australians, and have the best bloody holiday of your life.
Choice
Dave
hotels.
O'Neill is joining us because Dave's been sitting in lockdown trying to work out where he's going to take his next holiday, which Choice Hotel he would like to stay at. What are you thinking?
I'm thinking Mooloolaba.
Mooloolaba?
Oh, right.
Yes.
I didn't think you were a Mooloolaba man. What happens in Mooloolaba?
Oh, Mooloolaba, a lot of stuff. You can go to the market, you know, the market markets.
Are they early morning markets or are they evening markets?
No.
I'm an evening market man.
They're all day. I had my chakra realigned by a hippie with no qualification whatsoever. The market.
That's the whole reason for these markets. Is this? Did you buy something batik?
Yeah.
Did I buy something batik? I got a henna tattoo done on the spot.
Did you?
One of the best markets, the night markets, the evening markets in Darwin are unbelievable. Next to the Diamond Head Casino there.
Sounds
high Carumba.
Yeah.
And I bet you these are just as bloody good, Dave.
Yeah, the Yamundi markets. That's it. The Yamundi markets. Famous.
Are they famous, are they?
Famous. Yeah, you say the Breeze Choice Hotel, where the hot tub, the barbecue area is currently closed due to restrictions, but the hot tub is open from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m.
Oh, book me in. Dave. That's a 12-hour sitting. I'm going to come out wrinkled up.
I'm going to head down. I'm going to make sure no one else gets in. I just wear my G-banger. Like a German tourist.
Have it all to yourself. Well,
it's actually a beautiful area. And you can go on a craft beer tour.
I beg your pardon?
The craft beer tour.
Why did you bury the lead, mate? Who all this faffing around with the markets? There's a craft beer tour.
Yeah, I was like to call it homebrew. But anyway. You know when they say we made it here, I always go, that's not a selling point, mate. You know,
I mean,
like,
yeah. So Mooloolaba, it's famous and we all know of it, we've heard of it. Why not go there? Why not say, you know what, I'm going to tick this off, bucket list style, and go, Mooloolaba, I'm heading your way, I'm going to bunk in, I'm going to go for a long weekend.
Perfect.
And I'm going to stay at a Choice Hotel. Which Choice Hotel is it, guys?
Breeze.
Breeze Mooloolaba.
It just sounds good already.
Oh, it does, doesn't it?
I can see myself at the end of the bar with a coconut drink. With an umbrella in it, not budging.
No, that's it.
It's a lock-in, people.
I remember Bob Down. Bob Down, the famous comedian, used to say he used to do radio in Mooloolaba. He did the drive time shift.
Yeah,
that's right.
From 5 p.m. to 5:10 in Mooloolaba.
Who does the radio in Mooloolaba?
It's Mix 92.7. You got Mark and Caroline for breakfast.
I like Caroline. I don't care for Mark.
And you get to hear us weeknights from 6 on Mix FM 92.7.
Do yourself a favour. Get on down to Mooloolaba. Stay at
the
Choice Breeze. Go nuts. Have a ball. You'll be swanning around in your robe like Elvis Presley going, how good is this? Well done, Australia. Well done, Dave.
8 a.m. to 8 p.m. hot tub. I'll be there.
All right. It's a date.
Bubbling away.
Like a soup.
Thanks to choicehotels.com for the lowest price guaranteed. It's Malloy on Triple M.
For the drive home, this is Malloy.
That's the show for today. If you missed any, you'd be mad not to get the podcast and hear it all over again. Download Malloy wherever you get your podcast.
Like an encore performance.
That's right.
I might go home and listen to it.
It's like an air check.
I might go home and listen to it and mime along with it.
That's a great idea.
And
just into the mirror.
And cut you
and
out.
No me. Just all you. So that's it for the show. What are you doing tonight, mate? Anything?
What do you think I'm doing?
All right.
I'm on the couch watching the limps.
What's
What are you? Are you an Australian or something?
I'll be watching as well. I'll be flipping
around.
Do
you know how I do it?
Yeah, I'd like to know. What's your process?
I sit on the couch with an Aussie tracksuit like John Howard.
Do you?
Yeah. Oh, and if we win something, I jump up and down.
That is so Australian. Well done. What's taking your fancy?
I've got a little wallaby under one.
Oh, beautiful.
And occasionally, if we win, I tie a flag around my neck.
Yep.
But not a lot.
You wear thongs or what's on sort of the tracky pants?
Don't ruin it.
I beg your pardon. I'm just sort of getting the Australian spirit.
No, I wear the full tracksuit.
Right.
But when the walkers are on, like Kerry Saxby, yes. I waddle around the room, pretend I'm in the race.
That's unreal.
It's going to be so much fun.
Can't wait. Olympics back on tonight. Yep. That's it for the show. Yeah, so tomorrow on the show, Merrick Watts is going to join us.
Fantastic.
Thinking about our Sydney's cousins, brothers and sisters, doing it pretty tough at the moment.
Hang in there.
You got this.
You'll be right.
Yep. Mess is going to be on the show tomorrow. Clown of the week because it's Friday and a lot more. Yeah, that'll be tomorrow's show. Malloy, goodbye.
Now you're all caught up on the Malloy Drive Show. Why not plan your next getaway with Choice Hotels? With hotels in every state and territory, wherever you're headed, Choice Hotels are there. Visit choicehotels.com for the lowest price guaranteed. Terms and conditions apply.